That is a universal symbol. No words have to be spoken. It is recognized as a symbol of I surrender. To many people, the word surrender also means I give up. It is not always the same, but many times it is. So, is surrendering a good thing or a bad thing? It can be both. Not enough information. Surrenders can be conditional surrenders that are negotiated, and they're not total or unconditional. And so surrenders can be misleading on just what we are committing to. The question has to be asked, if I surrender, I am surrendering to what or to whom? When we look at life, it is easy to surrender to your loves and give in, and give up. It is easy to surrender to your desires. And it can even be easy to eventually give in to the problems of life and give up. The song that we're going to lead, have sung for an invitation, if you haven't looked at the title, I Surrender All. And so many in this world today would like to have a form of religion in their life, but they don't want to surrender all. I'll serve God, but I don't want to do this part or that part. I want to leave this scripture out. And the Lord never offered conditional surrenders. If we choose to be a Christian, we have to make an unconditional surrender to do the Lord's will before we do our own. And that is not easy. It is something we have to work on through a lifetime. We make the commitment that we believe that Jesus was the Son of God, and we spend our lives usually trying to learn how to surrender before we get it right. A case could be made that the last 3 or 4 years I've been in a spiral downward with dealing with life. And there were days that probably no one really cared where they were around me. And it's always easy to look back and say, I should have done this different in my life. And all of us have those things in our lives that affect us, that weigh on us, that change the way that our personality is, among others. And so I have no more burden than anybody else. It's just, how do you carry your burden? You carry it yourself, or do you surrender it? If you try to carry it yourself, it's going to take you down. And so, that's what's happened to me. I don't need to get into what things are a burden for me. It doesn't matter. Because we all have the burdens. And we all have days where we want to give up. We have days where we want to surrender to our burdens instead of surrendering to Christ. And it makes me think of the story of Elijah as he was running from Jezebel after Jezebel sent him warning that your life is good as gone. And Elijah said, "Woe is to me," and he lamented, "I am the only one left that is living righteously. I'm the only righteous prophet left of God." And God had to show him that there were thousands that he didn't know about that hadn't bowed down to these idols. So when I tell you that I've had burdens, I don't expect you to feel sorry for me. I'm no different than any other person in here. I just want you to hear that I admit that those things have been allowed to affect me to where I don't feel like I have surrendered my life to Christ the way that I needed to. But it is possible for all of us to have a day when the joy of life seems to be smaller than your problems. And you can have days where maybe you're tempted to ask God to relieve me of these and take me home. And we need to see and be reminded of other people to put our perspective in better balance, because we know there are millions of others that have it worse than we do, no matter what our burdens are. So for the way I've failed to handle my daily life challenges, I'm sorry for that. In James, the 4th chapter, verse 6, and in Peter, the 5th chapter, verse 5, the Scriptures teach us that man's pride is one thing that can keep us from pleasing God. And in Matthew, the 18th chapter, verse 2 through 4, we are reminded that we must humble ourselves and become as meek as little children before we can be useful to God, before He can use us in His plan. So if you are lucky, life's events will humble you to the point that you are useful to God and make your humbleness stronger than your pride. And if you are lucky, it will stop at that point and not take you completely down to where you surrender to your burdens. But life is a humbling experience, and we have to be prepared for that. So when you pray to God that things will go well for you today, praying for what you want may be not praying for what you need. Because if every day goes well, we become full of pride and are no longer useful for God in that situation. It is only when life humbles us that we can represent God the way that He wants us to represent Him. So even as the disciples praised God that they were counted worthy to be punished and to be beaten in the name of Christ, praise God when a day comes by that humbles you and makes you better rooted in being Christ-like. So the things that we pray for that we want quite often are not the things we need. You may need a spanking, but you know you're not going to ask for it. Are you brave enough to pray to God and ask for what you need instead of for what you want? The events of life will humble you, and they can make you flip between being humble or being bitter, that life's not fair. We have some stories out of the Bible that tell us about some men that God wanted to use, but he couldn't use them in the state that they were in. One of our favorite characters in the Bible is Peter. And we like to read about how Peter was so impulsive and the way that he acted when Christ first brought him in to the 12, and even after Christ died and had risen from the grave, Peter was impulsive and ran into the tomb to find out if the Savior's body was still there or not. And when Christ predicted to Peter that, "You're going to deny me three times," Peter became angry. He said, "How can you say that about me? I'll die for you, but I'll never deny you." And how embarrassing it was when he was humbled, when Christ's prediction came true. Then Peter was able to be useful to God after he was humbled. Jonah was asked to deliver a message to people telling them to repent. And he was upset about the task put before him, and he tried to run away. Jonah's pride had to be dealt with. His pride had to be broken to where he would come back and do what was asked of him. We all have events in our own lives that are similar in fashion, to where perhaps the Lord allows an event to happen in our life that we might be humbled and be more Christ-like. So when things or events happen that we really wouldn't ask to happen, make the best of it and see how it can make you a better person. Solomon told us to remember the Creator in the days of your youth, that you are anchored in it. Because when you get old, you're not going to be able to do everything that you would like to do after life has taught you its lessons. So be anchored early. In Luke, the 18th chapter, verse 13, we have the example of two men praying, how one's prayer was accepted and the other wasn't. It was a man that was humbled and admitted to the Father his errors and asked his help. 2 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, verse 7, Paul tells us that there was a thorn in the flesh given to him that he might remain humble, because he was given many gifts. And he doesn't go into detail, but he talks about it was a good thing, even though he asked three times for it to be removed from him. That was his will, but the Lord's will was that it stay in place, that he be a better person. Proverbs, the 27th chapter, verse 2 says, "Let another man praise you and not from your own lips." And I remember growing up, Muhammad Ali was coming into power as probably the best fighter of all time. But he couldn't keep his mouth shut. And he made a lot of people angry for many reasons. But he didn't wait for somebody else to praise him. He praised himself. And a lot of people could never cheer for him because of his prideful attitude. Ecclesiastes, the 5th chapter, verse 2 says, "God is in heaven and you are on earth. And be not rash with your mouth. Be humble. Choose your words," as Tom Woody said, "taste your words before you put them out." In Philippians, the 4th chapter, verse 12, Paul says, I know how to be abased and I know how to be exalted. We have to be able to do both. You know, when people are out looking for new jobs, there's not very many people that look under the category of servants. Because by definition, a servant means one who does the will of others. We by nature don't like to do other people's will. We want to do our own. And yet, if you're going to take on the robe of Christ, we have to give up our own will. And we have to do the will of another. And we have to be willing to say, yes, Master. Today's world, people don't like to acknowledge authority. They don't want somebody to be over them. So if you want to be Christ-like, can you humble yourself to the point you can say, yes, Lord? I don't know if there's more than two shows that I watch on network television. There's one on right now that I do like to watch. It helps me escape whatever the day has brought. It's called America's Got Talent. I assume some of you probably watched that show. And the thing that's neat about it is you don't have to be a singer. You can do anything that has entertainment value on that show, and then your performance is judged. And so it doesn't matter if you're a comedian or a magician, a dancer or a gymnast. If you want to perform a danger act or sing, you can do any of those things or any other and be able to show your talent. Well, 2 weeks ago, there was a group on there from Detroit. And it's a choir from Detroit that were all black. And they had all had difficult times. As most of you know, since the economy crashed back in 2009, Detroit crashed along with it and filed bankruptcy as a city. And their unemployment rate, I think, skyrocketed to like 25%. And people that chose to stay suffered. And this choir, what's neat about this show is that it's made up of average people, just like any of you sitting here, getting a chance to display their goods. This choir is made up of people with problems, just like you. And this husband and wife that went together to start this choir in his mother's living room, he was unemployed. His wife was pregnant, and she was the only one bringing in a paycheck. And it was pretty humbling to that man to where he wasn't sure he could continue holding this choir, and so he stopped. And his brother persuaded him to try again. And because of the bond that these people got from the problems of life, they developed a presentation that came through like none that's ever affected me before. They come across, they represented Detroit, saying, we're coming back and we're proud to be part of it. They sang a song I'd never heard of before. And all these people on these shows were suffering from losses. Some have lost their jobs. One individual has lost his sight. Others have lost their health. One man had lost his son. Others have lost their mate. And another performer on this show had an injury playing softball, and it injured his throat to where he can't speak now normally. He stutters all the time. And in a way to try and find, and he's 21 years old. And so he made a joke out of it and has become a comedian and done well. He's one of the contenders. But this gospel group, they called themselves Selected of God. And the energy that they put into their performance, almost as one of the judges said, made the hair stand up on their arms because of the unity that they had in the song that they sang. And by the end of their song, the entire audience was singing along, clapping, and the judges were all standing and clapping as well. And the song basically started out as a problem in this person's life when somebody they loved left them. And they said, some of the words of it was that you thought that I would die without you, but I'm a survivor. I'm not going to stop. I'm going to work harder. And there was no ill feelings. They wish this other person the best, pray that you are blessed, and lots of happiness. And the men joined in as background singing, I'm better than that. And it just is hard to give it justice. And that my mama taught me better than that. And it just empowered everyone. And the reason I bring it up is that oftentimes the stories behind these people that come onto this show sometimes are better than their performances. But the stories on how these people are trying to survive a humbling experience in life is very humbling to you as you listen. And it gives you the courage to maybe step up taller than what you've been. I have this show recorded if anybody would like to watch it, because I can't think of any show I've ever seen on television that I've ever replayed maybe one more than once or twice. I've played this song back at least 20 times because of what it does to my spirit. It is something that I needed. And how rewarding that must be to the... There's probably 15, 16 people in this chorus. And how rewarding it must be to them after they broke the group up and were ready to give up. And now they are a real contender to win this whole show. And to think that they have energized other people's lives, what more is there to life than to feel like you've been a positive influence to somebody else? So you never know when your words, when your song, or when your smile or your laugh, or the hug or your kiss that you give will turn a life around. We together as a group are like a silk cloth hanging. Individually, each one of us is a thread in that cloth. We're intertwined with each other. And together we can make something beautiful, honoring God. But a piece of fabric that holds a family together, whether it's a physical family or a church family, the fabric that holds us together is fragile. And when one thread is pulled loose out of that cloth, it can make the whole cloth unravel. I have allowed life to unravel me. And I'm sorry if I have impacted others in a bad way. When our life unravels, it affects you, it affects your family, and it can also have an attempt to quench your spirit to where you are no longer Christ-like. I know I'm not through with life's challenges, but I'm better than I was. And I have a better understanding of Romans, the 13th chapter, verse 8, when it tells us a piece of advice of, owe no man anything, because debt can totally consume you. I have a better understanding of James, 4th chapter, verse 10, where it says, humble yourself in the sight of God, and he shall lift you up. So when life humbles me, I have to tell myself the Lord is getting ready to lift me up. I have to remember what the choir said. My mama taught me better than that. When I get frustrated with life and feel the urge to give up, I'm a survivor. I'm going to make it if I surrender. If I turn it over to God. Don't just give part of it over to God like Ananias and Sapphira did and lie about it. You want to be Christ-like? Surrender all as we stand and sing.